book of Galatians chapter 3. Before I read the word of God, I want to give you a brief introduction of this book. Especially we will see chapter 3, verse 6 through 14. The book of Galatians, Paul wrote this book, this letter to the Galatian church. Before the chapter 3, several things are very important. Paul introduced to us his personal conviction story, how God called him to be an apostle. This is the second thing. His apostleship is very important in the book of Galatians. Also, he tells us his apostleship was acknowledged by James and Peter, which means when Paul taught the gospel to them, it's not his gospel, it's God's gospel. The gospel he taught to them is authoritative. Therefore, from chapter 1 through chapter 2, Paul tells them his personal story, how God called him. From chapter 2, verse 15, it's like a thesis of this book, how from chapter 2, verse 15, Paul begins his argument. How can you say your salvation is by your works? Your salvation is only by God's grace. Therefore, in chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of law, because by works of law, no one will be justified." 15 and 16, like a thesis in this book, after that, Paul began his argument. He used the Holy Spirit, he used the Old Testament to prove his argument. We will see chapter 3, verse 6 through 14 today. This is the word of God. I ask you pay attention to the word of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6 through 14. "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of law. And do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Let's bow and pray, ask God bless our hearing and the preaching his word. Our gracious Father, we ask you, because you are merciful, we ask you bless us when we hear your word, when I preach your word. I ask your Holy Spirit, which dwell in your children, which dwell in your people, works in our heart so that we can understand your gospel and that we can appreciate your salvation in Jesus Christ, and that we can be reminded by faith that you give us, only we can be justified. We praise you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Both in Western and Eastern, there is an idiom, like father, like son. If we see a son looks like his father in voice, in appearance, even in habits, we can say, like father, like son. I think most of you know Sandy and I are expecting our first child, who is a boy. I expect my son looks like me. If you ask me why, I think I will answer you, why not? Because this is my son, like father, like son. Very meaningful in today's passage, Paul said to us, he said in chapter 3, verse 7, know that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. What's the meaning of this statement? Actually, in the previous paragraph, verse 1 through 5, Holy Spirit is a very important argument. Paul used the Holy Spirit. Paul asked them, your personal experience, because you have received the Holy Spirit, which is not by your works, but by hearing the faith. Holy Spirit is an evidence and a mark of a Christian. You become Christian not by your works, but by hearing the faith. The faith is in Jesus Christ. The faith is about his crucifixion and the resurrection. Therefore, by hearing the faith, you are Christian. By hearing the faith, you have righteous before God. Justification by faith alone, Paul tell them, not just tell to the Galatian church, but to all Christians through all generations. Actually, justification by faith alone is not a new teaching just in the New Testament, because in chapter 3, verse 8, Paul said, and the scripture, the Old Testament, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. We see in the Old Testament, the gospel God preached to an Old Testament figure, Abraham. Therefore, when Paul teach the justification by faith alone, this truth, this is a not new truth in the New Testament. Therefore, it is a very excellent approach to use Old Testament testimony to prove justification by faith alone. There is an organic and a consistent truth between Old Testament and the New Testament. What does Paul do here? What does he say here? He links the New Testament to the Old Testament. Also, he links the New Testament church to the Old Testament, the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, what's the meaning of this statement? Paul said, we are the sons of Abraham. There is only one church between Old Testament and the New Testament. The justification by faith alone, that truth is throughout all generations. Paul make use of the sonship to argue, to convince us we should put our faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he said in the chapter 3, verse 7, know then that it is those of faith who are the son of Abraham. He wants to use the story of Abraham to convince the Galatian church, not by your works, not by circumcision, but by faith in Jesus Christ, you have this real relationship with God. He also reminds us, brothers and sisters, you are Christians, which means you receive the Holy Spirit. This is your personal experience. Your personal experience proved not by your works, not by any others, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. When I say, like father, like son, Abraham is our spiritual father, which means we should inherit the legacy of our spiritual father, which is the faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, this is your identity in Jesus Christ. You are the sons of Abraham. About this identity, I want to share with you two things about the identity. The character of the son and the benefit of the son. You are the son of Abraham. Your character and your benefit, I want to share with you. The first is the character of the son. In chapter 3, verse 6, Paul said, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, we read this word just as, which not only related to the previous chapter, previous paragraph 1 through 5, because he said, you are justified by faith, just as Abraham, which not only relate to the previous paragraph, but we should know which was related to the Caesar's. Chapter 2, verse 16, I've read, but I want to read again to you. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of law. Because by works of law, no one will be justified. This is the thesis of this book. Paul related to this thesis by using Abraham's story. The question is, how does this story function well? How to prove chapter 2, verse 16, using this Abraham story? The answer is in chapter 3, verse 6. Because chapter 3, verse 6 tells us, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. How does Paul use this story to prove this thesis? He said, in the Old Testament, just believed God, just believed God's promise, Abraham was counted to be righteousness. I have mentioned when we read the book of Genesis, we see a great tension between Abraham, the promise he received, and the reality. But we are told Abraham just believed God. His believing counted it was righteousness. This is what we read. This is also the answer of this our question. How does it function well in prove the thesis? Let me remind you what the false teacher the false teacher taught in the Galatian church. They taught if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to become the biological son of Abraham. How can you become the biological son of Abraham? You have to do the circumcision. You have to do the circumcision. Using the circumcision, you can be the biological son of Abraham. But the story tells us, no. If you want to receive the righteousness, if you want to receive the righteousness before God, you just like Abraham, believed God, put your faith in God's promise, you will receive the righteous. This is what chapter 3, verse 6, and Genesis 15, verse 6 tell us. By faith, not by works, not by circumcision. What's the what is the matter of Abraham's story to us? If we just read the New Testament, if we just read the Galatians, the question is, what is the matter of Abraham's story? How does the story relate to me? Why we need know this story? The answer is in chapter 3, verse 7. Paul said, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the son of Abraham." Here Paul used a Greek imperative mood. He said, "You, Galatian church, you, New Testament church, you should know. You should know those of faith who are the son of Abraham." In the Old Testament, the Abraham, he believed God. He received righteousness before God. And you should know, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are the son of Abraham. You have a relationship with Abraham. You are the son of Abraham. The false teacher, they teach circumcision become the biological son. But what Paul teaches is by faith, you become Abraham's spiritual son. This is not a new teaching in the New Testament, but a consistent and organic teaching throughout the whole Bible. Because in chapter 3, verse 8, Paul say, "And the scripture foresee that God would justify the Gentile by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed." Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. Gospel is what God promised and what and God fulfilled. Not by our own works, but by God's almighty works. He promised that he will justify the Gentile. And in the New Testament, we see Galatian church as a Gentile church. They are justified, not by any works, but by their faith that given by God in their heart, works in their God. This is the gospel God promised and God fulfilled. Therefore, in the chapter 3, verse 9, we see, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Here we see what has the blessing. According to context, the blessing is the righteousness. And who can receive this blessing? Two people, the son of Abraham, they can receive the blessing like Abraham received the righteousness. Also, we see Abraham here, the scripture describe him as a believing Abraham, KJV translation, the man of faith. Abraham, the man of faith, is a believing Abraham. Who is Abraham? What is his character? His character is believing because he believed God's word. This is his character. But us, we are the son of Abraham. Therefore, this is also our character. How can we be the son of Abraham? How can we receive the blessing which is righteousness like our spiritual father? We receive this blessing through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are the son of Abraham. We have the same character like our spiritual son. We have the same character, faith. When the false teachers, they taught circumcision, what is the circumcision? In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, we see the circumcision is on someone's body, is on his flesh. But we see in the New Testament, the Colossians teach us the real circumcision is in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, 10 and 11, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwell bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him Also, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. When the false teacher, they hold the teaching in the Old Testament, they say, in the Old Testament, you should be circumcised and you receive the blessing. But in the New Testament, we see the real circumcision is in the circumcision in the Christ Jesus. Therefore, when the false teacher, they teach, you should have the circumcision, which means you should do something for your benefit. You should do something to receive God's righteousness. You should rest on your works and become the biological son of Abraham. But Paul teaches us we should put our faith in him, and we use this faith to have a relationship with God, which is totally different. This is what we see in the chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. We are the son of Abraham, which means we should have the character like our spiritual father. Put our faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 9 tells us, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we will be blessed with the son of man, Abraham. Brothers and sisters, do you want to be blessed, or do you want to be blessed like our spiritual father? Maybe you will answer, if I don't want to this blessing, what should I life be? What should I say? I want to say, in the Bible, only two ways. If you are not be blessed, you are cursed. If you are not in the first Adam, you are in the second Adam. If you are not in the heaven, you will be in the hell. If you don't have life, you will have the death. This is what Bible teach us. If we are not be blessed with the believing Abraham, with the faith, with the man of faith, Abraham, we will be cursed. This is what Paul tell us in the following paragraphs, verse 10 through 14. I want to remind you again, this argument is Paul tell us the faith brings blessing and the works brings curse. In the chapter 3, verse 10, we see the second point I want to present to you, the benefit of Abraham's son, the benefit of Abraham's son. In verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do then. Very straightforward, very direct, very straightforward enough. We see in the chapter 3, verse 10, Paul directly tell us, in the previous paragraph, he said, faith brings blessing. Now he told us works brings curse. Two kinds of people. The first is they are receive the blessing. Another is they rely on their works, receiving the curse. And the two kinds of result, blessing and the curse. Faith is what you believe, and the works is what you did. Works is what you do. I don't upset the faith and the works, but if your motivation is you want to, through your works, to get God's favor, if you want to, through your works, to get God's favor, to make you more worthy, this concept, this motivation should be cursed. Why? In verse 10, selection B, Paul again used the Old Testament to prove justification by faith alone. In verse 10, selection B, he said, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of law and the Druzen. If you know in the another book in the New Testament, James, he said in chapter 2, verse 11, in chapter 2, verse 10, he said, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. If you want to, by your works, keep the law, you should keep the whole law. If you fail in one point, you fail in whole law. This is what Paul tells us. Because our God is holy. Because our God is holy. Because we are sinful. In the Westminster Short Catechism, 18:2 and 18:4, again and again tell us we cannot keep God's law. Because we are sinful, because we are not able to keep the God's law. And the result of fail to keep God's law is a curse and God's worthy. Therefore, the Bible tells us after fall, we don't desire to keep the law, and we are able to keep the law. Curse is the only answer for everyone who rely on their own works. But the question is, by our nature, we want to do something to keep our statute before God. We want to do something to contribute our salvation. The question is, what should I do? If by my sinful nature I cannot keep the law, what should I do? Let me put this way in Book of Job 9:2, chapter 9:2. This is the question. Book Job 9:2. How can a man righteous before the God? How can a man righteous before a God? God is holy, I am thankful. In verse 11, Paul replied this question. In verse 11, Paul replied this question. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Because no one can be justified through the law, through the works. How can I be justified before God? How can I do? The answer is the righteous shall live by faith. Again, reminds us Old Testament linked to New Testament links to Old Testament. Again, reminds us this is our character. Be a son of Abraham. This is our character by our faith. If you still want to say, I can be righteous before God by our works or by my works, I want to remind you again, chapter 3, verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10 said, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse." If we still want to, by our sinful nature, to keep the law, this is impossible. Therefore, the question is, how can I avoid the curse brought by our not meeting requirement of the law? What should I do? In chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul gave us the solution. He said, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." This is the solution Paul gave us. Only Christ can save us from the curse. If you remember chapter 3, verse 10, we were under the curse. The solution is Christ redeemed us from the curse. How Christ redeemed us, the solution is he became the curse and we become the righteousness before God. This is 13b tell us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Therefore, as a son of Abraham, when we put faith in Jesus Christ, we also should know one thing. We were under the curse because by our nature, we want to do something. We want to contribute something to our salvation. We want to do something, make us more worthy before men, before God. If we have this motivation, if we think like this, we are under curse. But Christ become the curse, and Christ become the curse for us, so we can become the righteousness in front of God. This is his passive obedience, he paying the penalty of the sin for us, becoming our substitutional atonement for us. This is the salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, Paul said, "Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him." The son of Abraham is characterized by faith in Jesus Christ, who become our substitutionary atonement. In 14, verse 14, so that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentile, so that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. In the last, there is a word, so that. Therefore, the 14 is the result of 13. The 14 is the result of Jesus Christ becoming the curse for us. Therefore, we received the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we received the promised Holy Spirit in the covenant of Abraham. If you remember in the chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, Holy Spirit is a very important argument. Therefore, what Paul said is, you have received the Holy Spirit, which is a promised in the covenant of Abraham, which proved God promised something and he fulfilled something. How to fulfill something? By his son, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, now by our nature, we know now by our nature, we like be a doer. We want to do something. We want to do something make us more worthy. But by the grace of God, we become a believer. The believer is the sons of Abraham. Why we can become the sons of Abraham? Today's title is the Son of Abraham. By the singular Son of Abraham, by his works, by his sufficient great works, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an evident and a fruit of his salvation. In Acts chapter 2, verse 13:3, Peter tells us when Jesus was exalted, he poured out the Holy Spirit. If you are Christian, you receive the Holy Spirit, which means Jesus finished the great works. No other works are great than his works. So his works is sufficient. Therefore, through the singular Son of Abraham, we become the sons of Abraham. We put our faith in him because through him, only through him, we receive the benefit which help us be delivered from the curse by our nature. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for the covenant you made with our spiritual father, Abraham. And we give you thanks you promised and you fulfilled. And we give you thanks for the Holy Spirit works in our heart. Remind us who Jesus is and what he did. No other great works we need because he has finished the greatest work. And we give you thanks. And we praise you for everything. And we pray you help us to more and more appreciate the works from Jesus Christ and help us put our faith more and more in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.